Good morning, my brothers and sisters, my church family, and welcome friends who are joining us on this January the 3rd, 2021. Wow, we have arrived. We have slid into this new year, really amidst of everything that we've gone on in 2020. Here we are. God has graced us with another opportunity to serve Him in this new year. So I want to take this time on behalf of Pastor Eddie, myself, and our leaders, to wish you and your family a happy new year. I hope you had a chance to listen to the sermon last week, because we are really convicted and encouraged to really focus more this year intentionally on the opportunities that God is giving us as a church, as a biblical community, to go deeper in the truth and apply the gospel to every situation, persist in prayer so much. So if you have a chance, go back and listen to that. But now, today, as we start this new year, we're going to jump back into our series in 1 Peter. So if you have a Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. So while you're finding that in your Bible or on your app, and by the way, please pull out a journal, take some notes. It would be very helpful to you as you think through this text. And I encourage you, those of you who are not used to doing this or don't have this practice, maybe 2021 is a great opportunity for you to kick it up a notch and actually take it serious when you're hearing a sermon. Take some notes, think more deeply and intentionally about it. I believe that that will be fruitful to you and helpful by God's grace. So again, 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, we're going to look at 7 verses. And it's an interesting text because this is the text that is a little controversial, has been controversial over the years because it's been taken out of context, misapplied, misunderstood, you name it. But the fact remains, it is truth that we need because it comes from God Himself. So the problem's not with the Word of God. The problem's usually with us and our humanity and our sinfulness and our inability to fully comprehend all that God is saying. We can tend to run away and really twist things out of proportion and out of context. So I pray that today God would help us and help this humble servant share the word and teach through this text as faithfully as I can. And I know that one sermon on these verses is not enough, so you are going to have to be encouraged to follow through and keep studying this text for yourself, and pray that the Holy Spirit would help you in this. With that said, also, I want to remind you to, again, look at the worship guide we have online. The scripture references are on that worship guide. It'll help you follow along and see the whole scriptural basis for what the Apostle Peter is teaching here in chapter 3. All right, let's read the text together, beginning at verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 3, and it reads like this in the English Standard Version. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, that's them who are some who are not saved and they're pagans, they may be won without a word by the conduct or behavior of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Verse 3, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Wow. Well, as you can see, there is a lot of explaining to do, so we will get there. But before we do anything else, let us pause and pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us this word, Father, to confront us with things that are hard to fully grab and understand. Protect us again, Lord, from taking these verses out of context, as many have in the past and will inevitably in the future. Settle us in what is true, the principles that are timeless in this text that are transformative and helpful to us as your children, as believers who are men and women, who are husbands and wives. I thank you for the truth. I thank you, Father, that you lovingly correct us and you move us along toward spiritual maturity, growing us in the gospel. And so, Father, as we begin this new year, jumping back into this series, we pray that your word would wash us continually, would prepare us for whatever comes in this year, 2021, that we would be found faithful, that we would be found going deeper in the truth and persisting even more fervently in prayer, Father. To you be the honor and the glory for everything. I thank you for all of my brothers and sisters, all of our friends and family who are watching. May you be with them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brothers and sisters, friends and family. Again, we'll look at the text, and as you heard me read the text and as you read it for yourself in your Bible or on your app, you can see very quickly there are a couple of things that would quickly be question marks. What exactly does that mean? Well, before I go on any further, I want to say a couple of things. There is a main theme that I want you to get from this that is going to shape everything that we're going to be talking about today. And so that's why it's important for you to have a journal, a notepad, something you can write with, or maybe put it in your phone, because here's the theme. I want to give you a theme statement to help keep us organized and so that we can think about these things rightly and biblically. So here it is. Here's the theme of what we're talking about today. It is this: God's design for men and women, husbands and wives in this particular passage, is rooted in creation, not culture. Let me say that again very carefully. God's design, remember, God is the creator of heaven and earth. He created man, he created woman in his image. God's design for men and women is rooted in creation, not culture. We have to always consider where we are starting when we think theologically about truths that we read in Scripture. We can't merely look. Peter is not speaking from a first century context. He is speaking in a first century context, but he's not speaking from a first century context. He is speaking from a creation, a creative order, a biblical, God-centered, gospel-centered context. And so that's why it's important for you to understand right off that the whole point of what we're talking about in these seven verses that are critical to understand rightly is that God's design for men and women is rooted in creation, not culture. Culture shifts and changes all the time. You know, and I know, that we see all different ideas and concepts about men and women and about gender in our society, and that changes, and that's unfortunate. That goes against everything that God has designed from the beginning. But what remains is what God has instituted. His design prevails then, now, and tomorrow. Praise God for that. So with that in mind, I want you to also think about these three things. These three points will organize our study of the text. And the first point is this one: biblical submission produces gospel fruit. Biblical submission produces gospel fruit. I'll explain a little bit more about that later. The second and third, they go together, but the second one is external beauty, because Peter is talking specifically to believing wives in these verses. So a lot of it here is for the believing wife. But we can glean from these principles, and it teaches all of the church, all of us as believers, to understand God's creative order and why things are the way that they are. It's beautiful. So external beauty is fleeting. Number three, coupled with that, is internal beauty is lasting. Internal beauty is lasting. Now, again, as we read the text, certain things jumped out at you and caused a little bit of hesitancy, probably. Made you a little bit uncomfortable. I understand. I'm with you. But trust me, Peter is teaching the truth, the Word of God. He's not adding something there that we're trying to, we're not, we don't have to read into something, read something in there that is not there is what I'm trying to say. But I want, before I go any further, I think I want to at least convey to you, especially as I've studied these verses afresh, what the Apostle Peter, as an apostle of God, as a person who is teaching the Word of God to those in the household of faith of his day, what he's not saying when he penned these verses. Here's what he's not saying. So, because again, there can be a lot of misunderstanding, some pain and anger can come from this text. So here's some things that I want to say. This, what Paul is talking about here, this biblical submission that produces gospel fruit, Paul is not saying, or he does not mean, that if your husband asks you to abandon your faith in Christ, you should do so. That's not what Peter is saying. It also does not mean that if your husband asks you to sin, you should do so. If your husband asks you to sin, you should do so. Very, very important caveat as we launch into these verses. It also does not mean that you must always agree with your husband and never present a differing view. Very important, because that's not what's at play here. That's not the issue here. And so we must state these things. It also does not mean that if he is unfaithful to you, you are left without biblical recourse. And that can be somewhat controversial, but you must let the Word of God and your conscience guide you in those things. But those are distinct and different issues from the principles that Peter is talking about regarding biblical submission and the beauty of a godly, believing wife who lives and honors and glorifies God in her conduct and behavior. So that's very, very different. Very, very. Also, it does not mean that if he abuses you physically or abandons you through incessant verbal humiliation, that you must remain quietly in the home and accept the daily cruelty of that relationship at all cost. No, no, no. 1,000 times no. That is not what that means, and this is not what, and unfortunately, these erroneous ideas have been extracted from texts like these, especially this one. But that's not what Peter's doing here. Because he created us in the image of God. He's speaking specifically to strong, believing wives. And that's what we need to look at as we study these particular verses. So let's jump in and work slowly into this particular part of the passage. Again, Peter says, "Likewise, wives, be subject," or submit yourself, "subject to your own husbands." Husbands there. This is, again, this is in the context of a godly marriage. Why? Here's the reason to conduct yourself as a wife who loves the Lord and believes and serves the Lord and serves her family, is that if for some who do not obey the word, that they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. So obviously, right away, we see clearly that there is a conduct that is becoming of a godly, believing wife. Now, no even believing wife is perfect, but they have been saved and transformed and are being sanctified and being made to live out this glorious gospel by doing godly, biblical work and service to their husbands, to the church, to their family, and to their neighbors, and to anyone that God would send their way. And so this is important for us to see exactly what's going on here. So Peter's jumped in. Now you have to understand, this is all part of a unit that he started in chapter 2, and now it's falling. Remember, he talked about being subject to authority, that we cannot just, you know, usurp authority and think that that's the right thing to do. We live in a culture right now where a lot of that's going on, and it's really sad. We don't understand lines of authority, and we don't have, we lose respect. There's all kinds of problems with that. Well, it's no different in the context of marriage. And this is why what makes this so important to learn today, because I believe that this kind of understanding, as we dig deeper, as we understand God's design for wives, for believing wives, and what Peter is talking about here, and husbands, because verse 7 is very, very important, is that we understand this divine design. This is why what Peter's doing here is rooted not in his first century culture, it's rooted in creation from the very beginning. You'll remember in Genesis chapter 3, beginning of verses 16 and 17, I'll read it for you, but it's in our worship guide. It says, to the woman he said, now this is where kind of all this began, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, in pain you shall bring forth children. This is again a judgment after the fall. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband. So there we see the contention, but he shall rule over you. In other words, he will lead. He will be the one that God is saying, I will make responsible to lead the way, to lead your family. And that's a hard one in a sinful culture. It is hard. But for those of us who've been saved, we've been saved to serve God, to submit to God, and to do things his way. That's the difference here. And then to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you. He basically relegated his responsibility. You know, he just did not do what he was supposed to do. He says, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. So you can see that from the beginning there is a design. And in Genesis chapter 2, we read a beautiful text of how the creation of woman came to be. Go and look at that. But God's design is pure and perfect and powerful as it relates to what we see in the roles of men and women. In this particular context, the roles of husbands and wives. So that's the first part. Biblical submission produces gospel fruit. The number two is external beauty is fleeting. Look what he says here. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. Now, again, what does that mean? Some people have taken that to, well, should we not, you know, wear makeup or jewelry? That's not the point that Peter is making here. Peter is saying that when that becomes the ultimate, when those things become more important, the external becomes more important than the internal, you've turned things upside down. That is not God's design. And so it cannot operate in a proper way, especially in the context of a marriage, because other things will become more important. And what should be your main focus as a believing wife will be neglected. And these are forms of things that Peter is saying, these are going to be temptations, these are going to be issues that we are going to have to deal with, and he's speaking specifically to wives here, but he's talking about the fact that external beauty is fleeting. Don't put all of your marbles into the external aspect of your life. Put your faith and trust in God's plan to be transformed from the inside out. So internal beauty is lasting. Just the beauty of a person who has been humbled and has been forgiven of their sin, has turned from their sin and trusted Christ as a woman and is found faithful to God first and foremost and ultimately. See, our ultimate submission is to God. That's why we can submit in mutual submission in marriage, because we have been called to submit to God, surrender all to God, to take up our cross and follow him and do what he has commanded us to do. And what Scripture calls us to do is to do what God has designed for us to do. But it's not found in the externals. And this is why Peter points this out, because this is something that not only in our day, but even in his day. And sometimes we would think, well, first century churches and culture is so removed from our American way of life and how it's so, you know, the selfie generation, everything. And we were talking about all kinds of adornment and clothing and fashion and you name it. Well, it really wasn't so different. It was just in a different way, but the sin was the same. You know, the desires to look better than anyone else, to be the prettiest, to be the more beautiful one, that kind of thing, with, you know, the sinful, you know, pride in the way, all of that kind of, that was there then just like it is now. And Peter is speaking to that, and he's teaching towards that issue. So that's why he says, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning, verse 4, be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. That doesn't mean that Peter says you shouldn't say anything. That's not what he's referring to. What he's referring to is the ability that we have, the enablement by the Holy Spirit to be able to speak the truth in love. Not be irrational, not be over emotional, you know, fly off the handle and disrespect our husbands, disrespect our neighbors, disrespect our family, our siblings, our parents. These things are happen in our sinful nature, and we want our way, and we will argue that kind. But the gospel changes that. The gospel transforms us into understanding that we are to be patient and gentle. All of the fruits of the Spirit that we read about in the New Testament come to this kind of believer that lives in this way. And so this is what he's talking about here, the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. And then he says, he gives us an example in verse 5. He says, "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God," and that's the key. How many of you women, wives, really hope in God, like hope in Him every day? You have placed your hope in Him. Maybe today's the day. As a woman, you're sitting here listening to this, reading this text, and trying to wrestle with some of these interesting ideas. But maybe you're saying, you know what, what would it be like to fully just surrender to the gospel and do what God calls me to do? And what would it be like to really allow the Holy Spirit to transform me in such a way where I can begin to display the beauty of this kind of godly character for His glory and His honor? And that's amazing strength, by the way, because we are enabled and we are strengthened. That's why this whole issue of male and female, men and women, it's not about women being inferior. Absolutely not. That is ridiculous. And that's always the pushback on something like this. But I'm telling you, God did such an amazing work in creating man. He created all of us in His image, male and female. He created us. And just the intricacy of that, how we complement each other, how we fit well together, it is mysterious, but it is miraculous, and it is beautiful. It is beautiful when expressed in God's design, the way that He designed it to be. That's what this is about. Men and women are strong in their own way because of how God made them to be. God purposed them to be this way, for us to operate in a way that glorifies Him in the way that He's designed us. And that's what we see here. And so then they bring up Sarah. Peter brings up Sarah as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. What is all that about? Somebody's like, I'm not going to call my husband Lord. Here's the thing. We have to understand context. We have to understand. This is a little L, by the way, not the Lord, but a Lord. It is akin to respectfully saying, this is my husband. You know, this is the one I count on to make good, solid decisions for us, to go ahead of me and protect me and be a shield and be responsible for me and for the family. That kind of thing, you have that respect. It's not about inferiority. It has nothing to do with that kind of thing. It's about complementarity. It's about how we complement one another in Christ. And that's why when he brings up somebody like Sarah, and you can read in the Bible about her, he is talking about a woman who was strong, a woman who had no trouble talking to her husband and, you know, hashing out some maybe concerns and that kind of stuff. But he says here in verse 6, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord respectfully, in some translations you'll see the word master, but it's not our contemporary idea of those words. We don't understand them rightly or in that context. It's in a different context. It says, and you are her children. In other words, you see how there is a line of women that God saves that are in the line of a woman of faith, just like men are in the line of men of faith, men who have been faithful and are faithful to God, sinners who have been saved by grace, who have humbly served the Lord, submitted to the Lord, and served their wives and loved their wives as Christ loved the church. This is what Peter is talking about. If this is the kind of woman that you are as a Christian wife, as a believing wife, then you are a part of a long line of godly women who have done the same. And praise God for that. And so that's what Peter's pointing out here. So he says, you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. It's an interesting text. Peter's bringing up some ideas again that believing wives who love the Lord, serve the Lord, are in biblical submission to their husbands, thereby producing gospel fruit, have peace. They have no reason to fear because the Lord is with them, because God is with them. God goes before them and is enabling them by the Holy Spirit to live in a way that glorifies God and builds the church, builds the marriage, builds the family in a gospel-centered way. What a blessing. And then what he does here, we see that Peter brings up husbands. Again, Peter took the time to really talk to wives because he hadn't done that. We don't see that. But he's really talking to the married couple, and he's wrapping it up by reminding husbands. Likewise, verse 7, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. That's an important text. Now, again, another question mark, another possible pushback you might have is, what do you mean weaker? He's not talking about physical weakness in the terms of, you know, that we are so weak we can't do anything. He's talking about the design of male, the design of female, that the male has to be willing to go in front of his wife, protect her, because she is vulnerable to certain things. Then that's why God designed him to be there. The principle is a pure one, not a ruthless, cultural, taken out of context kind of a thing at all. It is about serving and protecting and being the one that God has ordained to lead your wife and family by protecting them, by putting yourself in harm's way to protect them. That's kind of the issue there. And of course, there's more to deal with. I wish we had the time to go deeper into this, but that's the idea. And you can follow up with Bible study to get more in that way. But I want to turn your attention to a couple of passages of Scripture that'll help us understand how we understand these three points, that biblical submission produces gospel fruit. Amen. That we submit biblically. Now, we're not talking about cultural submission. We're not talking about some ridiculous, fundamental, you know, out-of-step, abusive kind of practice, you know, using the name of God or the name of church to try and, you know, perpetrate some sort of, you know, abuse over or women. No, not at all. We're talking about biblical, God-fearing, God-ordained biblical submission that will produce great gospel fruit. And understanding that external beauty is fleeting, internal beauty is lasting. In 1 Corinthians 7:16, we can see some of this start to come together for us in Scripture. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Well, we know by what Peter is saying here, by the conduct of our lives. And that's true for all of us as believers. What is our conduct going to be in 2021 as we are given an opportunity by God to go deeper? Are we going to commit ourselves more? This is so very critical and important especially as we talk about marriage and family and relationships, but also in the church and in society. For those who are lost, for them to see what it looks like to see believing women and believing husbands submit to God and submit to each other and serve each other, love each other as Christ loved the church. So, so important. That's how we do it. We'll do it with the conduct, with the way that we live, the way that we speak, the way that we are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 22 says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them." See, that's biblical submission. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. This is all under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I become weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. That is the ultimate goal of these kinds of relationships, husbands, wives, as we think about our marriage, as we think about our, we are believers, we love the Lord, we love the church, we are growing in the Word, we are growing in the gospel and in discipleship, and all of that is so that we can live this gospel out, and in that, we can reflect Jesus, and others can be won to the gospel, won to Christ, and be converted. So there is a specific purpose in all of this. In Titus chapter 2, verse 5, it says, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. This is not saying that women have to stay at home, and it's talking about the home as a place for the husband and the wife and the family, that her part, the husband's part, they are very important, and we must have a home that is rooted and centered in the gospel and on Christ. Why? That the word of God may not be reviled, and so that we can display the character that should be what is displayed in the Christian life. So, so critical. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, likewise, also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly attire. Peter's using those that kind of terminology because in that day, it was used, there was a lot of craziness going on as it related, not unlike what we see today. It's just sometimes we don't tend to think of it that way. And so, but what he's saying is, that, again, don't let that be your motivation. Don't get caught up with that kind of thing. You know, think about, you know, the testimony. Think about the way that you were conducting yourself with grace and with respect and with honor and with humility and with inner beauty. That honors Christ. That brings glory to God. Romans 2:29, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart. In other words, one is truly saved inwardly, not outwardly. And that's not external, it's internal. And it's a matter of the heart. The heart has, God has to come in and remove this heart of stone and put a heart of flesh and save us and transform us and make us into his likeness. And it's so, he is not, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being. 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And that's the message here as Peter is speaking to believing wives, that the inner strength, the inner growth is being renewed every day. You are being strengthened, wife, who loves your husband and loves the Lord and loves your family. God is with you and he is strengthening you. Ephesians 3:16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. You see why internal beauty is lasting. Internal change is what's necessary. We must see what the precious word of God is doing here. Now remember what Sarah did. Peter brings up Sarah, and I want to refer you to Genesis chapter 18, beginning to verse 12, where it says, so Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out, and my Lord, she uses that word that Peter uses here, is old. I kind of laughed when I read that. Shall I have pleasure? See, Sarah understood something that you and I understand, that in our humanity, we are unable to do these things that we are being told that are going that's going to be done. But it is through God's grace and God's miraculous power that these things happen for his glory, so that what's demonstrated in and through our lives, not only as wives, as Peter's talking specifically to wives, but as husbands and as believers, that we could display the character that is becoming of a godly Christian, of a person who is living to the glory of God and living by the word of God and pursuing godliness. That's really what is at stake here. And so as we wrap this up, I want to remind you, and I want to couch this in thinking about what this means as far as God's design. This is not about what we have made, what we have put together. This is not about us creating a marriage that we want, trying to design or trying to change people or be changed, trying to create a life that we want to have. It is about God's design from all eternity. He established it. It is true now. It will be forevermore. And those of us who are believers live by that design. We don't live by cultural norms, cultural narratives. We live by God's design. And again, God's design for men and women, husbands and wives, is rooted in creation, not culture. And don't forget, number one, biblical submission produces gospel fruit. That's what we pray for. External beauty is fleeting. Internal beauty is lasting. All this to the glory of God. So believing wife, be encouraged today that God has positioned you to beautifully express what it means to serve the Lord and to be a servant to others, to your husband, to your family, and to those around you. And it is a way, as Peter pointed out, taking examples from Sarah, godly, holy women of the past. It is a way to teach and be an example for younger women who need to know what it means to be a godly wife, a believing wife who loves her husband, but primarily loves the Lord. First and foremost, we are in submission to God. Husbands, we have a great responsibility. I think it's far heavier of a weight of responsibility for us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Imagine that. Imagine that. But yet, that is our task. And it is a hard one, but we must persist in prayer. We must rely on the Holy Spirit for help. We must do what the Word is telling us to do, and we must live in humble submission to God so that we can love our wives rightly and not mistreat them. And this is all part of what I think Peter's doing here. He's not speaking. This is why the only reason texts like these are taken out of context is because we tend to try and put words and ideas into Peter's writing. Peter is not speaking to very specific issues. He's not talking about this or that. There can be a multitude of very specific detailed situations that any one of us can find ourselves in. What Peter is doing, he's teaching the biblical principle, the overarching principle that affects how we as husbands, how you as biblical believing wives live. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about that conduct. And so with that, we just thank God for this truth. And again, I want to remind you that God's design is the best design. And what culture tries to do, we just have to say, by God's grace, protect us from sliding off into those kinds of things. Because what God has set into motion from the beginning still applies. And it's beautiful, it's powerful, and it works. It is pure, and it is glorifying to him. Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that even as we try to wrestle with texts like these, we are reminded humbly that ultimately you are sovereign in all relationships. And I thank you, Father, for those believing wives, especially not only in our church, but really in the capital C church. Wives who are in submission to you and are faithfully loving and serving their husbands and their families. Father, I thank you for them. I thank you for the gift that they are to our families, to our churches, to the gospel, Father, that is being shared across the world. And I pray that you would help us understand better how to fight the temptation, especially as women and men in marital relationships, how to fight the temptations to be self-serving, to be governed by pride and sin. Father, help us to put that down once and for all. We repent and we ask forgiveness for committing sin against our spouses, Father, for not being supportive or submissive in a right way, Father, realizing that it's not about inferiority, it is about complementarity, Father. Thank you so much for the truth and how you continue to correct us in these matters. And Father, we know we need help. We know we need to continue to persist and grow in the knowledge of what it means to conduct ourselves as men and women who are gospel-centered. So help us, we pray. Father, I thank you for our church. I thank you for our brothers and sisters. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to start this new year. And Father, may you guide us and lead us. Help us to find a place sooner than later. And Father, we give you glory. And help us to live in a way that is pleasing to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.